Seder of the four parishes, we said they range from the Shemesh Adar until Nisan. The first one, as we explained, Pasha Shkolim, is on Shabbos, the Shemesh Adar, or Shemesh comes out the middle of the week. It's the Shabbos Mevochim, the Shemesh Adar. Second one is Shabbos Pashas Zochar. This is the Shabbos just before Purim. The reason is that it says in the Megillah, Yom El Niskodim Benasim. Niskodim Benasim means that I've mentioned, and then there is action. But first we mention it, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, erasing the Zecher Amalek, the Shabbos before Purim, and then immediately after. That week we have the Purim itself, Benasim, and the mitzvahs are done. The actual mitzvah of the Megillah, of the Simcha, of the Sudas Purim, of Shlach Munis, all that is done afterwards. Because the Rebbe is here that the Shabbos before Purim there should be, that is Kodim, the Haskodim, the mentioning of the Parsha of Mechias Amalek in the Torah, which is the Deraisa. This is always on Shabbos before Purim, because Purim does not come out on Shabbos. As far as we are concerned, that's going to be on Shabbos. Or of course, in 2 days of Purim, one is the 14th day of Adar, which is the Purim for the whole world, and the 15th day of Adar, which is the Purim for Yerushalayim, and those cities in Eretz Yisrael, which have a wall around them, which had the wall since the time of Yeshua, or the city of Shushan itself, original city where the miracle took place, they lay the Megillah on the 15th, they celebrate on the 15th, which is called Shushan Purim. Now, in order to understand, to know how to make these, to arrange these days, or dates, of these four parashas, and if Rosh Torah gives a key to it, we know that there are 4 days in which the Shemesh Adar can come out. This is important as a Sabbath, Zayin, Beis, Talad, Vav. It can come out only on Shabbos, on Monday, on Wednesday, and on Friday. When we say the Shemesh, of course, we speak about the second day of Shemesh, which then is the first day of Adar. For those 4 days, you can have the Shemesh come out. Therefore, we have four parshas. We have more than four Shabbosim between Shabbos, the Baruch of Adar, and Shabbos Parshas Chodesh. But you have more, what happens to the other Shabbos? So the extra ones, the ones in between, are called the Hafsukah. Hafsukah means there's a space between these Shabbos, one without any one of the four parshas involved. That's important to know because of these four parshas, the Shabbos especially, you have Piyut for Shachris, Piyut for Musaf, added that refers to the Parshas Kol and Parshas Chodesh. You don't see Avad Achman. We have to know when these Hafsukos will come out. There is a siman given for these Hafsukos. Siman is brief, the abbreviation. Shetavis is Satu, Zion Tesavov, Bali, Bezavov, Dad, Dalad, Dalad, Ubiyu, Bob Bez, Bubov, or to be the Taz. The siman given is this way. If, we said these 4 days when the Shemesh Adar come out, if the Shemesh Adar comes out on the first, Zion is Shabbos, then we have the very next Shabbos is already, which is the 8th, is already Parshas Zohar. Zion comes down on Shabbos, that means that Parshas Shkolim is on that Shabbos. Next Shabbos will be Parshas Zohar. The following Shabbos, on the 15th of Adar, then you have a Hafsukah. There's no Parsha then. And the next two Shabbos are Parshas Korah and Parshas Chodesh. Second Siman Boy, Beis Vav, means that if the Shemesh comes out on Monday, then the first Hafsukah will be on the 6th day of Adar, which means very next Shabbos we have Sukkot ready. We have to be Parshas Sukkot, followed by Parshas Purim, Parshas Sukkot. Third case is that if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Wednesday, then the first of Sukkot would be the fourth day, Talit Adar, which means the very next Shabbos. We still have again three Shabbos in a row, Sukkot, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh. If there's one case, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on the fourth, that's Friday, then you have two of Sukkot. You have the first of Sukkot is Beis, well, Beis and Fov, we said. The first of Sukkot is Beis, the second day of Adar, which means that the day after the Shchedesh is the first of Sukkot, because the Shabbos previously, then Parsha Shkol, but this is this year's case. This year, the Shchedesh came out on Friday, first day of Adar. So Parsha Shkol was the Shabbos before, the first of Sukkot was this past Shabbos, it was the second day of month of Adar. Then, next Shabbos, which is this coming Shabbos, is Parshas Zohar, followed by the 16th day of Adar, that is again Av Sukkot. We have two Av Sukkot this year. Vav, and that on Friday, Beis Yud Vav, on the second day of Adar, the 16th, you have Av Sukkot, followed then by the two Shabbos in a row, Parshas Purim and Parshas Sukkot. These are the Sivudim. No, if you study this by heart, it's just a few short letters. You know, the Sivudim, you know how to tell the calendar. Sort of like Seder Ibur, when they count, at least knowing they say that the Parshas, in case you have no calendar, you can't see when these Parshas, when these Parshas are. You remember these four Sivudim, and you know automatically exactly when the Parshas are and which Shabbosim there are under these Dalai Parshas. This is the Seder to know these four Parshas. We said we have now completed the second one, Parsha Zohar, which is the Shabbos before Purim, in which we say special piety in reference to Mechias HaMolek. We should be zechut to see with our eyes of Mechias HaMolek, Mechias Kosei in Yisrael, see the Yeshua Kol Yisrael, they call Yisrael, Mechias Mashiach HaMolek. Mechias Purim Dinei Arba Parshas. The four Parshas. Covered the first two. The first one was Parshas Shkolim, second one Parshas Zohar, that's the Shabbos just before Purim. And again, we stress the fact that Parshas Zohar, according to all days, is Midiraisa. It means it is compulsory for every person to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek. How? You can get HaMolek here and kill him, it's fine. Since you can't, it's done today by mentioning the fact that Machoy Timcha Ezech HaMolek. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Machoy Timcha Ezech HaMolek. Erase the name of HaMolek. There are some people who ask if you want to erase it, so why do you keep mentioning it? Why do you eliminate it? The answer is to erase the HaMolek itself, the memory of the Ness, the fact that Hashem has held battle against HaMolek throughout the ages. This is part of our history. This is part of the Pasdei Hashem. They also read it. But of course, we have to keep mentioning it. Maybe he mentioned any of the Nisim. We hardly do that. That was Parshas Zohar. Parshas Purim is the Shabbos before Parshas HaChodesh. As they say, it's the Shabbos of either the Shchodesh of Loch or Chodesh Nisan. Parshas Purim is the Shabbos before it. The purpose of Parshas Purim is, again, to remember, remind ourselves about the fact that the Midbar is not the one means of purifying a person who was Tomei, the worst kind of Tumah, Tumah Shiva, 7 days, it's mess. In order to purify him, he had to use the ashes of the Pora Adumah. This Pora Adumah was a very rare item, just a handful of all time. The second basement is just a few, the first one is just one. This one, Paraduma had to first be burned. And then the ashes used for the purification process. Ashes, water mixed. The purification process of those persons who were Tomei. Being in the Midbar, they were all Tomei. And they had to come to the point of eating the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach cannot be eaten by one who was Tomei. Stood. We all had to be prepared for this Tahara. purifying, time for brooding. What our Duma took place just before the Shchedesh Nisan, because the Komas HaMishkan, the setting up of the Mishkan in the Midbar, was on the Shchedesh Nisan. That's when the Jews would be coming into the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, temporary Beis HaMikdash, to drink the blood. They had to purify themselves first before setting up the Mishkan, and therefore it was done just before the Shchedesh Nisan. So we have now the clear before the Shchedesh Nisan, before Parshas HaKadosh. That way they'd be pure to bring the Korban Pesach. Now that was then. Today we say in the Shalom HaKadosh Sforzeinu, the place of the action of the Parah Adumah, we have the Tefillah or the Teda. So it's a Teda, the Gemara says that we can learn the Teda, Teda's Akkos, Teda, Shvamim, we learn the Teda, Teda about these Korbanos. It's as though you actually are bringing the Korbanos. When you say in your mouth the words, Tefillah, or the words of, about these items, it's as you speak about the Korbanos. Spell that your tefillah should be accepted in place of the Korbanos is the equivalent of bringing Korbanos. Shalom Korban Sforzeinu, that by speaking, spell that Hashem, Yotzei Ki'ilu Kedav, as though we were not here, we are the wealthiest people out there, because the poor person brings more flour, birds, doves, pigeons, the richer one brings lambs, goats. Riches bring cows, oxen. Shalom HaKodim, with our lips, doesn't cost any lip service alone. The right Kavana, who created entire ox, herds of oxen, bring us Kavanas. So here, with our words, speaking, listening to the Kriya of Parah Adumah, it is as though we're actually fulfilling the mitzvah of the burning of Parah Adumah and the tefillah on top of that Hashem. So, to purify us, just as the Jews are purified in the Midbar. That's a chus, being coming back pure, which ultimately we see with our Razi Akumas, setting up of the Beis HaMikdash by Hashem himself. We should be able to see that this time, this, all this Beis HaMikdash, we see with our eyes the Yas Mashiach can of the Beis HaMikdash. It's called the Dinei Megillah. It is that when we read the Megillah twice, once in the evening and once in the morning, both times, our meaning is that there are three brachas that are said before the Megillah. Three brachas are Amikra Megillah, Sheyasa Nisim, and Shechyan. The Shechyan has to be said for a mitzvah. It's not. Mitzvah that comes with mana, you say Shechyan. We can understand why the Shechyanu is said in the evening. New mitzvah, the mitzvah of the Megillah. Why is Shechyanu said in the morning? Because there are other mitzvahs important besides Mikra Megillah. You have the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos, Matonos Le'Avyonim coming up. You also have mitzvah of Sudas Purim. So these require a Shechyanu. What's very important, very basic, is everyone must know that since the Shechyanu is a chiyuv for each person to make, means you are relying on the Baal Kedei, who might see you with this bracha Shechyanu. Therefore, it actually requires the kavana of the Baal Kedei and the kavana of all those listening. Baal Kedei should have in mind what the Shechyanu goes for, and to have in mind that he's mitzi all those that are hearing, and all those that are listening should have kavana in mind when they hear the Shechyanu in the morning, that this is the shame mitzvahs, Shloach Monos, Matanos Le'Avyonim, and Sudas Purim. So too, throughout the entire Megillah, you have to have the kavana for every word. Of course, you have that kavana in the beginning. As you start the Megillah, the Baal Kedei has kavana, I now going to be mitzi everyone with every word. Each person is supposed to have a mind that will not be yitzir with every word that I hear. He must hear every word, and if one word is missing, he's not yitzir. Therefore, you must have a chumash in front of you, or a Megillah in case you miss a word, to repeat that word to yourself. Even though it's not a kosher Megillah, but this is different than a Sefer Torah. If you have a word missing the Megillah itself, okay, themselves says it by heart, he's Yetzer. He has many words, as long as it's not a whole Inyan, or as long as it's not the first and last Pesukim of the Megillah. Above all, it must be Kavona to Yetzer, must be able to hear everything, and therefore you must have silence in the Shul. You should be Zechet to the Mala, the Mitzvahs, the Shlemos, Zechet to the Simchas Purim, the Mapala for all the Son of Yisrael, Shirei Gula Shlemos, and the Heda of the Purim. Mechais Purim, Inahe Megillah, Shlayachmona is Tzudas Purim. In the reading of the Megillah, as we said, the Baal Kedem must be Mechavim to the Meitzi, every person with every word of the Megillah. Each person has to be Mechavim, that Kavona to be Yetzir with each word. In reading the Megillah itself, there are certain minhagim that are part of the Megillah reading. For instance, by Laila Ahu, Kedah raises his voice. Because that's the turning point of the story of Purim. That night, Nodadosh Nasa Malach, king, couldn't sleep. And that next morning, Haman was coming to get the seal of the king to kill Mordechai, Rachmana Litzlan. That very night, the miracle happened. That was the Nes of Purim. The king couldn't sleep. He had the sefer as a finished ready for him. And the Benapach, the whole thing, completely changed, transformed to a point where there was victory for Mordechai and Makola for Haman. That's why at that moment the voice is raised. Two, of course, the Gemara says the word HaMelech from the Megillah always refers to Hashem. The Gemara asks, we accept everything, but that night the king couldn't sleep. Is the child to say sleep? The answer is right. He could not sleep means that there was a spiders of Melech. There was an arousing of Rachmei Hashem, Rachmei Shemayim. Many times there's a Midas Adin, it's Motuach, it's stretched so taut, it's difficult to break through in Zeda. When there is Rachmei in Zeda, all the tefillahs, the Jews then, and Tanis Esther, Mordechai, cries and tears, the Chesed was no more dormant, no more asleep, but the Chesed, Midas Chesed arose, and the Nes blossomed forth. You have the reading of the 10 sons of Haman, word begins Aseres, name Haman, and then the 10 names of Haman. These are the 10 Sfidas, the Klipa. Every Sfida Mekusha has an opposite, Mecha, the Klipa. These 10 were destroyed then, so therefore it is customary to read these 10 with Neshima Achas, meaning one breath. You're not supposed to take a breath between. Means you have to try to take a deep breath first. Some people can do it easily, some find it difficult. So do is then to take a deep breath and then to read as quickly as possible. And if you faint in the middle, be revived to start again. But there are certain ones who are some volcanoes and very fancy. They want to go into all the fancy trap, Megina, which they miss elsewhere. Here they want to go into all the trap. What happens is that their voice gives out, they're dying by the sixth or seventh son, and they're trying to get to shore, get to the end of that page. You see them barely crawling along until they peter out at the end. They just get to Ascetus. The word Ascetus is the last one. Ascetus. The word Ascetus is dies out. They fall asleep at the. Of course, the answer is that there should be less fancy work done there and more speed. Naturally, reading correctly. The reason, too, is that, the plain shot is that the 10 sons of Haman were all hung together. This is a sign that they were not separated. The victory that was complete, beginning to end, all 10 were hung on the same tree. Now, that's the reading of the end of the Megillah, of course. We mentioned that Megillah ends, you have to say the bracha immediately, all except the Baal Kedah, who first rolls up the Megillah. That's the reason the Megillah is not here, because it should be, should be upset. Of course, there are some people who are very neat, meticulous. He's out of place. He just can't read properly. But a Batim might say, what kind of a schlump is this? But he takes out, how would we do it? Shum Megillah. It's the reason he cares about himself. Keep the peace. We have the Baal Kedah first roll the Megillah together. It's not considered a hefsek for the Baal Kedah. Anybody else listening, two Megillah, using Megillah for the previous Megillah, then we should first say the bracha and then hold it up again. Now, the din of Mishloach Manos, this is a halacha, which is one of the major dinim of Purim. The din is that you're supposed to send two food gifts, preferably these two types of food gifts. Not, let's say, two apples or two slices of cake. So two separate types of food gifts. Because if it's two slices of cake, it's very simple. If you have one, just cut it in half. And then you go further and cut that in half, you can divide it for the whole city. So it has to be two kinds of food gifts, preferably. And these two food gifts, this is Mishloach Manos. It's Mishloach Manos, not to give these food gifts to friends, Ishlereyehu. It's not necessarily to the poor. This could be even to a person who's wealthy, but some are wealthy, but poor mentally. Whereas the main poverty is mental. That, of course, there is no shortage. There's no question of giving to the right poor. This does make, because this Ishlereyehu means to his friend. So giving these food gifts to friends, he gives this to the poor, Agavi Yetzim Matanis Lavim. Giving these food gifts to his friends is not enough. It must be sent. A shleach has to be through a shaliach. It must be a third party. Even if your friend is right next to you, you cannot hand it to him. You must say to a person who's 10 feet away, you come here and give it to my friend. Your friend says, you're not talking to me anymore. You're not friends anymore. And that shows, of course, what he knows. As we said, this is a friend who's rich, but this is the halacha of the shleach manos, sending these food gifts. That's because there was a custom then. A custom has to be kept up. Many yourselves halacha to this day. Thousands of years, we cannot deviate from that custom. Again, the din of these food gifts, this food must be completely ready to eat. Not be something raw, like potatoes that are uncooked, or meat that's raw, or fish that's not cooked. Those cannot be used for Mishloach Manos. There are some individuals who eat raw meat, but we're dealing now again with those who are semi-rich, that they have to be food that is mamish, prepared, and ready to eat, like sweets, cake, fruit, wine, plus wine, you gotta be careful with kosher wine. Meaning that it shouldn't be kosher wine. In this case, you would say, what's the problem? The problem is that there's a halacha, if he's sending the wine, there are certain priests who say that the Ayin Esach is not just if the goy touches the wine. Even if a goy sees the wine, just looking at a goy's eyes, looking at the wine, could make it shayla. Unless the wine is insured, it's immune. With the Ayin Mavusha, there's no problem. A regular wine, even if a guy's eyes look at it, Inazov brings that to the Sikhus and eyes. Power of the eyes of Tumah, the Ayin Hora. Ayin Hora, of course, is the Gematria Tov, the Esau, the power of Esau on Molech, Esau's 400 men. They have a power of the eyes where they could just look at wine and already created a definite Shaila. Not all priests can say that it's strafe, but surely we should be careful, beware of this if we're possible. The wine should be at least covered in a bag, again, unless it's Yayin Mavusho. But even then, why let a good look at our wine, even if it doesn't have any harm effect on it? This should be food that is ready to eat immediately. Then it's the bits of the Mishloach Manos. Now, since the whole miracle was through wine, miracle of Purim, Vashti lost the kingdom, was a long sequence of acts. Vashti lost the queenhood and her head because of the Mishte Yayin, which the king made. Instead, Esther came into her place. Haman too had his Mapolo through wine, because what did Queen offer Ahasuerus? Come to my Suda, I'm making a feast. What's it, the feast that will draw the king? Wine. Oh, that's what we'll take. Halacha Chashveis, the Gemara says, was a very great, he was, well, again, in between. He was neither this nor that. He was neither big nor small. He was neither a big Chacham, nor was he a small Tipish. The combination of Halach Tipish, the Gemara says, so that wine drew him. At this meal, at this feast of wine, Mishtayayin, that's where she was able to win over the victory against Haman. And that's why, remember this, there is a mitzvah to drink wine, actual mitzvah to get drunk. Actual to get drunk with wine. Now there, this bedakta, this case, bedakta. Benedel says that a person should avoid drinking wine to excess at all costs. Surely liquor. During the entire year, even at the happiest occasions, weddings or simchas, even Tevim, Daniel said that Joe was not allowed to drink wine. He did not copy those people, those individuals, or see them drink to excess and drink every day. That's not for us. So here we were warned that wine, that it cannot be anything like a person being an alcoholic if he is a wrestler. Stood. Yet, the dafka on Purim, Daniel said, the mitzvah is not like some kind of interpreting the Gemara to mean that a person should get drunk until he doesn't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Oded Haman. He can't tell which is which. So drunk is he that he can't tell. His mind is not clear. Ad lo yoda, the Moses explains many different forms. But the point is that this ad lo yoda, this drunkenness, Daniel says, means literally. Mitzvah to get drunk literally. Now, this is true. This is fact. We find that the great tzaddikim in the past, and that Nosazal, the others, Nosazal once said that the Kippur is a very easy yontif compared to Purim. Because you have to fast, so it's easy. You fast, you daven. Purim, you have to drink. That's a hard one. But you fulfill it with difficulty. Other great tzaddikim did that. We find even Bezmanazer, they're great, pure, they get to. They can do them. Shmuel Shapiro, for instance, years back, I recall before the first trip yet, he drank. He went out to the street and played Yafa, which he never goes to. He stopped the number 11 bus and said, "Take me to Umar."